Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children. What kind of rebellion are we talking about? Them that are strong in themselves. That's the kind of rebellion. Obstinate children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that make a league but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. You know, your strength, your righteousness, all that is just add more sin to your old sins. That's all it is. That set out to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to take refuge in the shadow of Egypt. You know, the strength of Pharaoh is the strength of the old man. Isaiah 30 and verse 2. And in verse 7 it says, for Egypt helpeth in vain. You know, you can go through a trial and in your own strength seemingly solve the problem. But you've really done nothing, because the strength of Egypt only helps in vain. It means for nothing. It means you didn't conquer, you didn't overcome. It means you got to go through that trial again because you didn't go through it right, you know. And you didn't gain the faith and the victory because you didn't do it right.
When they say the strength of Egypt, also the strength of the world or the world's
right. The worldly way of doing things, right. The way we've been trained, really, from birth up to do things, you know. And the way the religious system tells you to do things, okay? Like the religious system is, falling from east to west into this inner healing movement. That is it. That's exactly what the strength of Egypt is all about. That is nothing but psychiatry. That's all that is, the strength of man. It's nothing but the worldly people have been doing that for years. They're borrowing from the worldly people because they never saw the gospel work. And they never saw the gospel work because they weren't taught the gospel and they didn't teach the gospel. If you teach the gospel and are taught the gospel, it works. It's powerful. It's the power of God unto salvation. Why are they reverting back to these things? Why are these preachers reverting back to inner healing and psychoanalysis? Why?
Their gospel isn't working.
Well, obviously they're not preachers sent by God. You know, nobody sent by God who's seen the gospel work and knows the real gospel is going to fall into man's works. You know?
That's plan B.
Number two, why do they say nowadays, you know, now, these days, God heals using doctors? Wait a minute now. When in the early church, when God dispensed His deliverance from the curse, His blessings, did He choose the lost world to do it, or did He choose the church to do it? In 1 Corinthians 12, the dispensers of His blessing or His salvation was the church. Each one of them were specialists in their own field to dispense salvation or deliverance from the curse. It was saved people. Now, all of a sudden, God uses the lost people to dispense deliverance from the curse, which is healing. Now God uses doctors. See, again, the scriptures are past tense, so that anything you do from looking forward instead of looking back in order to get healing proves that your works is trusting in the strength of Egypt. Cursed is the man that trusts in the arm of the flesh. Alright? Well, you can condemn people into doing something that will get them hurt. That is true. But everybody who trusts in the arm of the flesh are still living under the curse. Because the Bible can't be broken. What is it? Jeremiah 17 says that. Cursed is the man who trusts in the arm of the flesh. In other words, you're still living under the curse. You have not entered into the rest. You have not understood the gospel. And you have been separated from the gospel.
And there's no guarantee either of the arm of the flesh, you know.
That's a given. Where was that?
Jeremiah 17 and verse 5, I think. 5, 6, 7, something like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's the thing with the doctors, too. I mean, I believe, you know, in healing, obviously. But I shouldn't make somebody else not go to the doctor.
Because
they
have to walk in the light that
they've got to have their own faith, haven't they?
Right.
I can tell them. But they've got to know what to do, right?
The gospel...
That's where that church...
The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe.
Yeah.
See, The problem is we get separated from believing the gospel through unbelief, through fear, through whatever.
Can I give about a 2-second testimony?
Sure, sure.
And I think it's right in line here.
Go ahead.
I have all of a sudden one of my molars, not molars, but one of my teeth on the bottom right hand side just hurt so bad that it literally just slung me up against the refrigerator. I thought I got electrocuted. And even my son knows, he goes, "Dad, what happened?" You know? I said, "I don't know. Like a filling got a hold of tinfoil or something, you know?" And it just, I blacked out. My dad had to sit me down, and it was my tooth. It went right to my brain. A little bit of brain that it was nothing to hurt there, you know? So finally, I just prayed. I just thanked the Lord for stopping the pain. I thanked the Lord for stopping the pain. And I should have said, "Thank you, Lord, for just healing my tooth." But I said, "Thank you, Lord, for stopping the pain." Mm-hmm. About 2 days later, literally, the pain was completely gone. And it was wonderful. I didn't, you know, and I had went to the dentist, and he looked at it, and he said, "Oh yeah, you need a root canal job." And I said, "Well, the pain's gone, Doc." He said, "Well, you got to come back, you know, and get a root canal job." And it didn't hurt. I was eating on it, chewing on it, biting down on it, you know, chewing gum, eating Tic Tacs, a whole nine yards, and it didn't hurt. It didn't hurt. So I went back, and I went to the dentist.
Ma'am? I mean, what made you go to the dentist?
I had an appointment, and he was going to hit me up for $100 anyway if I didn't go. So I called ahead of time and told him, I said, "I don't think I need this root canal job, doctor. It doesn't hurt." He took another x-ray, and he said, "Well, let's see. Let's just pull the filling off, you know, and let's look and see, you know." And it wasn't hurting. I mean, he hit it, you know, a little probe. You know, he turned it upside down. I actually banged on the tooth with it. If something was wrong, I would have gone through the ceiling.
Yeah, he thought you were going to go through the ceiling when he did that, because believe me, that'll
and
hurt.
I told him, I said, you know, it doesn't hurt. I've been praying, and the Lord's healed it, you know. And next thing you know, he pulls the filling off, and he says, "Well, we got to go ahead and do that root canal anyway." So he went ahead and did it, and I agreed, since he was in there anyway. And my tooth is still hurting right now. I mean, it wasn't hurting before. I mean, it's actually throbbing now. I need done the root canal job. I want $300 now. Already paid him 50, 60, 70, I forget. You
isn't
know.
That awful?
And what
dentist did you go to?
Yeah, you know, see, and the thing was, I told him it was healed, but my unbelief said, "Well, go ahead." I think he kind of tricked me anyway, you know, because he said he was just going to grind the filling off and look and
see.
Well,
they'd walk by sight. They only know what might happen if you don't do that, you see. Look, back, I don't know, must have been 10 years ago, I was in a motorcycle wreck, and when I landed on the concrete and busted that tooth, it shattered it all up in the gum here. It didn't just bust it down here, it shattered it all up in the gum. And boy, I'll tell you, the next day or about a few days after that, we was in the house and everybody was eating some ice cream, and I took some ice cream. Boy, it hit me so hard. It hit me so hard I thought I was going to die. I mean, I literally fainted, and I was almost falling. I staggered into the bedroom, and I cried out to the Lord, and the pain left that moment, and it was just like a root canal had been done. I never had another lick of pain in that tooth since. And it was you could feel the tooth broken all up in the gum.
It's growing. Look at it. It's growing.
See?
Get longer.
You know, somebody said, "You believe in healing, Dave, but look at that tooth right there." Well, look, the Lord's filled two of my teeth. And I'm going to tell you why this is still like this. It's healed. I'm going to tell you it's healed because it's not healed because I say so. It's healed because the Bible says so. Okay? Now, why is it still like that? You know, the Bible says if you sin willfully, there remains no more a sacrifice for sins but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. We've talked about that. How that you're going to undergo a punishment when you walk in willful rebellion. That's how I got this. I walked against God. God warned me several times. You obey the speed limit. You obey the speed limit. I fudged on that speed limit. And I kept seeing even a vision in my mind. In the way back in my mind, I saw this vision of about to hit this car. You know, and laying and standing up on the motorcycle, you know, and hitting that car and flying over. I saw that vision three times in my mind, you know, and sure enough, it's exactly what happened. I hit this car. I mean, the car turned sideways in front of me on an overpass, and I was programmed in my mind to stand up, and I stood up and I buried that bike up in that car, and flew over it and landed up on that overpass.
Oh,
and,
gosh.
It was beautiful, man. I flew. I didn't know nothing to hit the ground. And I hit the ground, and the Holy Spirit was all over me. The Holy Spirit was on me so strong. I was just worshiping and praising the Lord. People driving around me, laying on the concrete, and they were just looking at me like, that guy's just been, brains been knocked out of him or something, you know. I was praising and worshiping the Lord. It was just all over me. I could feel the worship of the Lord. And I broke my arm. And the Lord healed my arm. But he left me with something to show to everybody. And warn everybody, listen, I don't care if it's just fudging. 5 miles an hour on the speed limit. Because that's what I was doing. I'd say, Lord, even the police would let you go 5 miles an hour. They let you go.
That's
five
what
miles.
I've always been told now.
But I'm going to tell you something. If the Lord tells you, the Bible says, be subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. The Lord wants people to see you as an obedient servant. Mm-hmm. The Lord wants people to see you being obedient to the laws of the land. And that's the scriptures, okay? If you're not doing it, you need to do it. Well, anyway, he gave me a whipping. And you know what? He don't have to take that whipping off you until he's through. He don't have to take that away until he's through. David, the sword didn't depart from David's house because he sinned with Bathsheba.
David?
He sinned willfully, the King David. When he sinned with Bathsheba, and the Lord, he said, yeah, I put away your sin, you're forgiven. He said, but the sword's not going to depart from your house. In other words, you're going to go on getting a whipping for
trouble,
a while,
trouble,
boy.
Trouble.
You know? And that's the truth.
Generations down, too. You know?
Sure.
A restriction.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like getting out of jail.
He gave him a sin. He paid for his sin, but he still wouldn't take the sword from his house.
That's right. That's what he said.
But it didn't make him... He can't say, I didn't sin and I'm righteous, because he did sin.
Right, he did.
Right.
Sure did.
That's good he still has
And
the
Lord forgave him. That's the wonderful thing, you know. When it says there's no more sacrifice, it's not talking about you won't get forgiveness. It's talking about he didn't take the punishment, because that's what the stripes are for. They're the punishment for your sins. He took the punishment for your sins so that you didn't have to be punished.
You know, you have two political systems in Israel. And you got Davids on both sides. You know that, don't you? And they disagree with each other sometimes. They're both Davids. And some of them philosophy is just a little bit different on them. Some of the actions that they do. And some of them are more Zionist and more militant, and others are more like Orthodox, traditional Orthodox, and some are more Zionist people.
And they still call them Molotov.
Well, it doesn't mean they're any less spiritual, but they're in different tribes and different tribes. Yeah. Well, anyway, some are more militant, and some are more into the study of the word, and some are more militant. And there's some Davids in the real militant, and there's some Davids in the Bible study, you know, and there's some Sauls, you know, and some Sauls too, but it's still like you've got two entirely different political systems. You've got a New York Jew that's different from a Louisiana Jew, and some of them might say they're from the house of David, or they might be, you know, the Egyptian house of David, or they might be the other house of David, you know, or they might be Jewish Davids. There's all kind of David. But, I lost my... that was bad news because I lost my train of thought.
Well...
I had something to say. And I got something
in Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about the rest.
I was bad enough.
How do you get rest? You get rest because you're not allowing yourself to be separated from the good news. You know, you're holding on by faith to the good news. And so what? You rest from your works. If you believe the scriptures in any point, it will exclude your works. That's what the rest is all about. That's what ceasing from your works is all about. If you believe, you will rest. And you will be weak. You will cease from doing your methods, inner healing, your methods, which are trusting in man in any way, you know, you will cease. You know, you don't have to try to be healthy. I know a lot of you are into that, and I, you know, don't rebuke anybody for that. But you don't have to try to be healthy if you already found out that Jesus made you healthy. Now, if you believe the gospel, you're going to believe that Jesus made you healthy. You don't have to try to make yourself healthy. You don't have to work to be healthy. That's not the rest. That's not ceasing from your works.
It's hard to try to be healthy, because... my mother would tell me how all proud about it, and then the kids come to it, you I'm serious, and it's hard to keep up with them.
Sometimes,
like today, I said, Lord, just sustain them, because I had garage sale all day, and you know, you feel, then you get on this, and you feel bad, well, they didn't have any vitamins all day, you know.
Do you know what pharmacia was back in those days when they were talking about
it?
It was witchcraft, but the word was pharmakia. You know, they didn't have a lot of man-made chemicals back in those days. Mostly what they did is dispense a lot of vitamins, you know, natural vitamins, you know.
Herbs,
things like that.
Yeah.
Their
loves their herbs.
Oh, yeah.
Their witch doctrine. Their witch doctrine that he's talking about in the scriptures is witch doctrine back there with the natural stuff.
Natural healing.
Trying to make yourself healthy, looking forward instead of looking back. Hey, that was the witch doctrine he's talking about. Much more today, the man-made chemicals, you know. One of them is not a bit better than the other one. I'm going to tell you why. It's because both of them are looking forward instead of looking back. If you accept what he did at Calvary, which is give you his health, you're not going to settle for some man-made health that you can get because you're not resting. See? What is to rest? To rest is to believe the gospel. When you believe the gospel, boy, it takes the load off your back. I don't have to worry about trying to be healthy. I don't have to worry about trying to witch doctor myself. That's God's money. That's not your money. That's God's money.
Yeah. You know, that money can go to
that's witch doctrine.
$30, and my kids have, mother says they need that, you know, a month.
Why is rebellion is the sin of witchcraft? It's rebellion to not believe the gospel and to go about your own works trying to get yourself healthy and healed. That's rebellion, and it's witchcraft.
But in Psalms, it does mention herbs and how they're good. You know, could that mean like just eating them with dinner or something?
Think about this,
Pete. Not making a potion.
Think about this.
Partially is or something.
Watch.
Yeah, you know.
Watch. In the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, they said don't be partakers of these unclean animals. And we've discovered here what he's talking about in the New Testament. You know, we've discovered, hey, it's being protectors of people because we got that revelation. When the sheep was let down out of heaven and all the unclean animals and so on and so forth, and he said, rise and eat. But God said, what I have made clean. Now, you can at least say in the New Testament that through faith and through being a New Testament believer based on a covenant, better covenant,
better
based
promise.
On better promises,
yeah, amen.
You can at least believe that what God said there is true, that He has made it clean. Mm-hmm. Not because it's naturally clean, but because it's all good and to be received with thanksgiving when it's sanctified through the Word of God in prayer. It's all good. If they tell you it's bad, they're talking against the gospel. It's all good. I don't care what kind of pork they put on your table. I don't care what they put there. You bless it and you believe it. Because it's sanctified through the Word of God in prayer. I'm not talking about marijuana and tempting God and all that. I'm talking about, you know, because the marijuana people say that. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if what you get to eat, you know, like us. Sometimes we eat what we get. So that's what we eat. And we bless it and we eat it. And we give thanks to God and He blesses that food. And you know what? That food is sanctified. It's going to make us healthy. It is sanctified. Anything, you know, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him, Jesus said. It's what comes out that defiles him. It's like the rudder of a ship, this mouth. When you agree with the gospel, you bind the devil and you loose God's blessings. Okay? It's like the rudder of the ship, it'll turn the whole ship around. James said. It's like the flaps on an airplane. I'm sure if James would have had an airplane, he'd have made that one too. It'll make it go up, it'll make it go down. Your tongue will make you go up, it will make you go down. Your tongue can agree with the gospel and bring blessings into your life because life and death are in the power of the tongue. We've got to agree with the gospel, you know, because faith without works is dead. If a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth, what does he get according to Romans? Salvation. What is that? Delivered from the curse. Delivered. Healed. Set free. Whatever. It's means
all the nutrients out of the food that it's supposed to be without supplement vitamins.
Right.
That's a see.
So it's what we say not what we eat. Don't think you're going to make yourself, I mean, I tell you what, you're going to fail. I mean, with all those, they've even proven some of those vitamins you put in there will make you deathly sick. And they'll overcome your kidneys in some cases. Yeah, and they'll give you problems down the road in some cases. You don't know what you're doing with these natural. There's lots of natural things out there that kill you dead. You know?
Snacks off the market like that, you know.
And they don't. When do they find out about it? Oh, after you've been taking it for 40 years.
Yeah, we didn't know about it after you've already done the damage. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
after you've been taking it for 40 years.
But you have faith to go to the store, buy this with hard-earned money, look and say, "Oh, that's good. I trust that," and throw it in your system. You know, you have to have faith in something. I had faith in the dentist. Mm. I had faith in the Lord, but I had more faith in the dentist. That's why I doodled down there and plopped some cash up there and said, "Do what you want," and tilted my head back. I threw myself at his mercy. Ooh. Why didn't I throw myself at the mercy of the cross? I got
separated from the gospel. That's what we're talking about, you know, separated from God. And we all do it in some cases, in some ways, and whatever. What we're doing, we're striving to be better. I mean, we're not condemning ourselves for our failures. We're striving to be better.
Yeah.
If we study the Word, it'll help us to be better in the future, you know. We're not condemning anybody for the past. You know, we've all failed.
It'll help you in the future.
Yeah, the Lord shows us.
The vitamins, Lord, you just have to help me walk out of that, you know.
Yeah.
She's got to be real.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's people that are vitaminaholics, and when they stop taking all that stuff, they start getting healthy. And it ain't got nothing to do with supernatural.
Well,
it's because you can't put all that garbage in your body. I mean, I don't care if it's natural. You can't put all that stuff in your body.
I've been taking quite a lot. I take in the morning, I get my niacin, my lecithin, and I'll take my alfalfa, I have a whole thing, liver flush, colon cleanse.
You know something? They may say, look, they may say, this is natural.
She got me on everything since I've been here.
They may say, yeah, but it's not ceasing from your works. You see, if you cease from your works, God pronounces a curse upon those who will not cease from their works. And he tells them they're not going to receive salvation. He says, why? Because the word of God, when it was given to those Jews, didn't profit them because they didn't mix it with faith. But there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God is to cease from our works. What causes us to cease from our works? When we believe that I'm already healthy. Jesus gave me health. Now that's words of faith. We need to speak words of faith. That's better than any pill you can pop in your mouth. Jesus made me healthy. He catalyzed me. He exchanged his health for my curse. Okay? He exchanged it. He gave me his health. Look, they may say that these pills are natural. But it ain't natural to take those pills. You know why it ain't natural to take those pills? Because that's an awful lot of the natural stuff that would take you an awful long time to take, get it normally. Okay? Your body ain't made to take that. I don't care what they say.
I'm taking four of those at one time. Those are those 1,200 milligrams. Because she's telling me what all I need to lose weight. And I'm taking stuff for my thymus, and you know.
Look, back when I was in the world, I'll give you a good example. Back when I was in the world, they used to shoot me. I had lung problems and chest problems and sinus problems. And continuously, I inherited it from my daddy because he had it. You know, whenever I got a cold, boy, it would like to kill me, just go through my whole system. You know? And, they would shoot me full of penicillin till penicillin wouldn't work no more, you know.
Yeah.
And so somebody said, take vitamin C. So I'd go get these 500 milligrams of vitamin C and pop them. And you know what? It did me twice the good. All that penicillin did, that 500 until. And one day somebody told me, says, yeah, but you know, you're destroying your kidneys with that 500 milligrams of vitamin C. Vitamin C is destructive to your kidneys. So I wouldn't want that trade-off with you. You know what happened to me after that? When I discovered that Jesus was my healer, and I packed around one of them bottles to spray up my nose all the time, year round, I had one of them in my pocket. Because my daddy did the same thing, walked around with that bottle. My sinuses were continually closed in on me. And when I threw that thing away, the first day I threw it away, my nostrils opened up, and I've had colds since then. But from that day to this, that's been almost 20 years, my nostrils have not closed up. And I'll tell you what, that beats any vitamin C. I threw that bottle down one time by faith. Oh, if Jesus healed me, I don't need this. Threw it down, and that was the end of it. Look, I've had colds. I've had terrible colds. Not many of them, but I've had some terrible colds. And my nose ain't stopped up.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, Because God honors that faith. Mm-hmm. Boy, I tell you, that's the kind of salvation you need. Get it and get it over with. Mm-hmm. You know? But I could have still been packing that Bible. I could have still been trusting in my own strength, and I'd be living under the curse. Cursed is the man that trusts in the arm of the flesh. I'd still be living under that curse. You know what? And you know I'm not condemning anybody here. You know,
people,
I'm just saying.
I wonder how people just get into all that. And
it's natural. It's not supernatural. It's natural.
Get into what?
You know, all the vitamins and knowing everything. If you got one, a headache,
one leads
you
to
need
two,
nitrogen.
And two leads
if you
to
got
three.
A headache, you know, mm-hmm.
Well, I know why your mom got into it, because she was saying, because she was there like time, and you know, she said the Lord told her to do something else.
Maybe that's just because she was having to walk in the light that she knew.
Exactly. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the Lord is not going to disagree with the Scriptures. Okay? I'm just going to say this for your benefit. The Lord is going to agree with the Scriptures. The Lord, if He's going to tell you something, He's going to tell you what the Bible says. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says you're healed. And He's always going to try to convince you that you are healed. He's not going to try to show you how to heal yourself. He's going to try to convince you that you're healed. Why? Because it's by grace and not by works.
Can I read that verse?
If it's by works, then the Lord will say, okay, you need to go to this doctor. Or you need
it
to go
all in here, what we need.
Yeah, God is not a schizophrenic. He's not one moment going to tell you to go do your own works so that you can be healed or saved or delivered or whatever, and then turn around and tell you, no, it's not, salvation is not by works. It's by faith. Hey, there is no other method for God, and He's not going to speak anything else. If He does, then that's not God speaking.
You know? Yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Right. So people make mistakes about what they think God tells them. But I'll tell you what, the devil is always there to separate you from the hope of the gospel. And if you can do it by deceit, he'll do it. And what is deceit but getting you in to your own works, your own ingenuity, your own wisdom, and how to figure this health out. And you know what? According to the natural, let's just look at this on a natural level. There's a natural level and there's a supernatural level. On the natural level, of those that are under the curse, okay, there is better ways and worser ways, okay? Let me put it that way, okay? But when you go up above that, to where we're not under the curse, it excludes everything below it. There might be better. Look, for people who are under the curse, yeah, don't eat a lot of pork because it's not good for you. Hey, but that ain't talking about me. You know why? Because I'm not down there. I'm up here. I'm out from under the curse. The curse is under me. The reason I don't have to worry about pork is because Jesus said that it's clean. And what I have made clean, you better not make unclean, He said. He said that. You better take that warning. That's a warning.
That's actually going against Jesus when people say, oh.
It goes for us as well. Our bodies is the temple, you know.
Well, when we were young, in the South, we walked in ignorance. We should have known better, but we used to eat bacon every day. And it cooked, my mother would cook with bacon grease. And it made things so it clogged up the arteries.
Poured all over everything.
It clogged up the arteries, it builds up. But we didn't know, we should have been. I mean, I guess God winked at our ignorance, but we don't do that now. We try to be very careful.
I'm not going
to
go out and buy it, but I mean, if that's what I get, if this is what the Lord provides me.
No, okay? If the Lord says it's
somebody
good,
gave me a
good,
pile of bacon,
cut back on
that big the other day.
Okay?
I didn't go out and buy it, but it was given to me. You know what? That ain't going to clog up my arteries. It might clog up that sinner's arteries, but it ain't going to bother my arteries. You know why? I'm not under the curse. I am delivered. And when I pray over that, it's blessed. It's sanctified. You know what sanctified means? It says it's sanctified through the Word of God and prayer. What's sanctified? It's set apart. The word sanctified, when it's applied to your life, it means separated from sin. Separated from the curse. That's what sanctified means. When you're sanctified, you're separated from sin. From the curse. Okay? Hey, if it's talking about food, it's got to mean it's separated from the curse. You know? When you pray over it and you believe God, this is for believers now. This is not for anybody else. I don't even care if you're a Christian. It's got to be believers, right? It's believing prayer that sanctifies that food. If you still believe in your mind that you shouldn't really eat pork because it's really not good for you, then you better not eat it. because you're not really walking by faith anyway, right? Right. So, but if you believe it, and you believe at the cross Jesus gave you his help. Let me tell you something. Think about what them Jews ate, by the way. A lot of people wouldn't consider that a very healthy diet. Sometimes there wasn't enough protein in that to stick in your eye, you know, keep you alive already, you know, some of the foods that they ate. But different part, I mean, what about the Chinese? You know?
So,
what,
manna burgers?
No, I wasn't talking about the manna. I'm talking about the normal, at the time of Jesus, you know, what they ate sometimes.
What was manna?
Okay, if I go shopping,
It says it's good. It's all good. And to be received with thanksgiving.
But don't tell the Lord with a big old plate of platter or a plate of M&M's or something. You know?
You have a crazy.
don't tempt the Lord.
Huh? Look, people that are natural, thinking naturally, they're going to say, no, you're wrong, Pauline. They have proven. Look at the statistics, Pauline. Okay? But who are those statistics pointing to? They're talking about sinners under the curse. That's what they're pointing out there. It don't apply to us. What he was talking about there in Timothy, he's talking to believers who are out from under the curse.
I had that cake. I couldn't stop. I ate three pieces at one sitting. Now that is too much.
Well, when you're lust, okay, that's another thing.
Wow.
When your lust drives you to eat an unbalanced anything, it drives you. Anything that you go to because of lust is going to be cursed, right?
Strange, though.
Okay, anything that you run to because of lust is cursed. But it's not talking about the type of food that you eat.
It's a strange craving. You just gotta have it.
See. Well, Mary and I, years ago when we first came into Christianity, we got in this health food kick, and I really thank God we did it because it changed our eating habits. Not that I believe in a health food kick anymore. I don't believe in it no more because I discovered the truth, okay? But look, it changed our eating habits. We don't bring a lot of cakes and candies home, fruitless things that your lust run after anymore. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Now it's the staples, you know, meat and potatoes, you know, that's what we want. Yeah, apples and bananas.
Well, I always wondered, you know, like all the foods that God made in the earth, you know, not Burger King Whoppers and stuff, you know, that's the thing that he wants us to be eating.
I think so.
The Lord's been leading me into...
Yeah, I like natural foods. I'm not, you know, I like it better than man's made desserts. I think they're good for you, they're designed for you, and so on and so forth. Naturally speaking, I'm not talking about supernatural. I'm talking about on the natural level, they're designed for your body. I mean, there ain't no better dessert than what the Lord hangs on trees, really. You know, and the sweetness that's in there, even the sugar that's in it is a better kind of sugar for your body, and it can be digested, and it's just good for you. You know?
Not me. I'm a carnivore. I'm not a herbivore.
It's a driver, isn't it?
Because
sometimes I can drink six Pepsis at one stop, and then when other drivers, I drink one, and that's all I want.
Well, that'll make you nervous, you know,
and
Pepsi.
And the same way with cake. It's a driver.
Yeah.
It's sharing the, you know, I guess, but I've gone crazy with that sour cream cake. I just can't leave it alone. It's so good. I just want to eat it and eat it and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
It's abnormal. I shouldn't want that. You know, and I think it's a driver or something. And the same way with, you know, anything. It isn't a normal drive. It's like somebody's driving you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like some other spirit's driving you to crave those things. It's not your own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of what
it has been. Now.
It's like another person's, you know, in you, something,
that's
a second man.
What it is,
you know?
Isn't it, that you can't control it.
Why do we pray for a certain thing? Why do we pray for deliverance or pray for a healing? Or pray for deliverance from a sin or a lust or whatever. We only do that for one reason. We do it as a point of releasing our faith to agree with the gospel. That's what we're doing. We're only agreeing with what the Bible already says is true. The Bible already says you're healed. And when we pray, it's a point of releasing your faith. Because we're so general. We think, oh, the Lord will heal me someday. You know, I'll get healed sooner or later. No, that's not what the Lord wants you to agree with. He wants you to agree with the gospel that you were already healed. And He wants you to stand firm on that. You know? And calling for the elders, is only for one reason. So that you can pick a point to release your faith along with their faith, and your combined faith gets the job done. You know, that's what it's for. It's still just agreeing with the gospel. You say, well, if I agree with the gospel that I was healed, why call for the elders? Well, sometimes you don't call for the elders. You know, I quite often don't call for the elders, you know, but the Lord still does it because I agree with the gospel. Mm-hmm. But it's a place to release your faith and agree with what's already been done. That's the whole point. And that's the important thing about it, you know. But it's still trusting in what's already been done, not what's going to be done. You know, I like this woman that I ran into that was a preacher over in Louisiana, and she had gone around to all the faith healers, and she'd gotten prayed over by all of them. Great men of faith, you know, had signs and wonders, you know, and she'd gone around and got prayed for all of them. She had two tumors in her chest, big old tumors. And she said, David, you know, and she was asking me about it. She said, David, she said, I just don't understand. I've been prayed and prayed, and I've been prayed for by this guy and this guy and this guy, named all the famous preachers, gone all around the country and got prayed for by all these famous preachers, you know. I said, you've done everything but believe the gospel. I said, you never have yet walked by faith and not by sight. When they prayed for you and you didn't see the healing, you walked by sight instead of by faith. I said, what you got to do is agree with what the Bible says. Now look, let me show you what the Bible says. And I got to show her what the Bible says, and I saw a light bulb turn on in her head, you know, just like that. I was looking at her eyes when it lit up, you know. I said, okay, you're ready, you know. And I said, okay, we're going to pray one more time, and this is going to be the last time, and you are healed. We're going to agree, you are healed. Prayed for, and she was instantly healed. Delivered right there, right in front of my eyes. You know, she was completely healed. Well, it's the first time she ever had her faith in the gospel instead of some man in the future and looking in the wrong direction. So many people that want to be healed want to be healed instead of thank God that they are healed. You know, they're looking in the wrong direction. It's the same. It's not the gospel.
Man says seeing is believing, and God says believing is seeing.
Right. And why does He do that? He does it very simply to exclude your works. Because if you think it's future, then there's something you can do, you know. But if it's already done, and you agree that it's already done, and you're agreeing with the Bible that it's already done, then you can't do anything. Or you're going to prove you didn't believe. You see, you're going to give proof that you didn't believe. You see. So He designed it that way on purpose. That's why the gospel is, that's why it's by grace and not by works. You know, He did it that way on
purpose.
Your
works can really weary you, because my works have weary
you. Oh, it is not the rest.
From desk to deck to throne. Yeah. You just name it. You know, my works have really wearied me to the point I'm just, okay, God, you know, what can I do? I said,
what does He say?
40 minutes.
What did He say in Isaiah 40? He's not going to give you strength until you run out of steam. When you run out of steam, when the youth gets weary, when we get to the end of our rope and you just wait on the Lord, then He's going to cause you to mount up with wings as an eagle.
Amen.
You got to give up. Get to that point. You got to give up. So many people don't give up. They don't give up. They're strong, you know.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about, you know, if we're not raptured out of here, you know, before things get bad, things are bad on the earth now. And we've been promised that we'll be raptured out of here before the horrible things happen. But it could be a prelude. We could in our time could experience a lot of prelude of real bad things, you know, before. You know, it could be like a snowball. The more you roll it, the bigger it gets, you know. And it wouldn't hurt us now to try to think of ways to save us from pain and everything, you know, during these times. The electronic things coming out of the air that cause such pain.
Mm-hmm.
And we're promised that we won't be here when it happens, but it could be like a prelude to it. We could get a foretaste of some of these electronic things that hurt and burn and hurt you so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be, it wouldn't hurt to be kind of get prepared for some of that in case we get a taste of it before the rapture. You know, we don't know. But that one thing that they did say was metal and gold and silver in your teeth is conductor of metal. You can dump your pain. Mm-hmm. And if it gets worse and worse, you don't know what you got in your mouth, and you know. So that's just one thing to think about. And they might be able to put other stuff in your mouth that won't cause so much pain. See, that conducts metal, mm-hmm. gold and silver. And when you got all these electronic things shooting at you, it could cause excruciating pain with that stuff in your mouth.
But remember, we have to have the armor of righteousness. To stop those fiery darts coming.
That's right.
We have to have breastplate and and Psalms 37 plainly says, mm-hmm. you know, that what gets shot against us will be turned around and go right back to them.
Well, maybe they can invent some kind of material to fill your teeth that won't draw electricity.
Jesus invented it. He invented it. You know what it is?
Yeah, what
it's a tooth. Don't ever ask God for a filling. Ask Him to heal the tooth.
Oh, they took mine out. They put the ones with gold in them, and also hit me in the head several times.
They hit you in the head?
Getting the crown and your teeth, and they say you're going to get your crown, get your gold and your teeth, and the gold on your head. Well, they worked those out with their computers, and they got the gold out, and they took my
at least they didn't hit you with the computer, huh?
They took that root canal out.
Yeah.
And they start hitting me on the head. Now these are just rotting away. But you got to.
That's the anesthesia they use. They hit you on the head.
No, I went the wrong dentist.
I guarantee you went the wrong dentist.
Well, I've been going to the same one all my life, and they refused to help me. And what? I was in pain, and they wouldn't help me. They refused to help me.
So I
went to somebody else, and they took the whole works out.
There's a dentist in town that's a carpenter. He's the best.
Boy,
I went to the same dentist all my life, and they refused to help me time and time again. And I needed help. And I went over. I've got to help. And they said, we can't help you. So I went to another dentist, and they just took the root canal out. So I'll be helping somebody else now, I guess, instead of him, because he won't help me. He refused to help me.
Dr. Jesus will always help you.
Yeah.
He'll always help you.
Thank God for the gospel. He healed you.
Thank you,
Jesus. He healed even your teeth.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
2,000 years ago, He healed your teeth.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? What was that? I wish they could get some kind of new material to make them out of. It wouldn't be a conductor of electricity. They ought to come up with something. Some new material that wouldn't,
you feel that
a magnet that drops. Now, that can cause pain,
Faith in Jesus can make it where no matter what you have in your mouth, the Lord's going to take pain and.
We're talking about electronic warfare.
Jesus,
if we're here on the earth when the tribulation starts.
Jesus is much more powerful than that.
We're not supposed to be here, but it could be a prelude to it.
You know, Isaiah 53 says He bore your pains. He took those pains 2,000 years ago. Took all your pain away. You know what we do?
Yeah. And that's old timey stubbing your toe when they walk down a cobblestone road.
Anything. He would take
Jesus
your pain away.
The same as yesterday, today, and forever.
Tammy had an example of that several weeks ago. We prayed for her, and she had 4 of her wisdom teeth pulled out, and the Lord took her pain away right
same
there.
When
the moment we prayed
is
for
is that right?
He was instantaneous.
Did she
pain.
Put? Did she get a partial plate back in?
No, she just had her wisdom teeth pulled.
Lots of toy teeth going like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to chew. Doesn't matter. What good does it do if you don't have any pain if you don't have any teeth anyway? But they were, that same doctor, dentist, thought the world of him. I've been going to him all the only dentist I ever went to in my life. Really? No, maybe a couple of when I was real young. And they refused to help me time and time again. And I was getting toothaches and everything, and I went to this dentist over here, and they wouldn't let me in. I went there 3 or 4 times.
Well,
I wouldn't
go to no dentist.
I was
going,
in pain.
Going
and
back
my teeth
to them,
were loose.
Back to hitting you on the head. I mean, today they used ether and stuff like that. You know, hitting you on the head, that's kind of rough.
But is that a long time ago?
No, one of them said, I'm Mrs. Smith, and she said, if you come back in here again, she said, I'm going to have a call the cops and have you arrested. That was at the Fairfield Dental Clinic. I said... I don't know a Mrs. Smith, but I'm just telling you that I need a dentist. I've been all around trying to get an appointment. I mean, they were ugly. I didn't even know which Mrs. Smith they were talking about.
Are you Mrs. Smith?
No.
Taking a dentist.
No.
Yeah, but I lost my teeth because of that nonsense. I'm sorry, we can't help you. That was so silly. I said, which Mrs. Smith are you talking about? I know thousands of Smiths.
Well, when you trust in man, and when you trust in the arm of the flesh,
you can't pull your own teeth to get a toothache, could you?
I trusted in the arm of the flesh, and my teeth is still hurting right now. The Lord showed me. He showed me that...
If you had appendicitis, could you cut your own skin, take your own appendix out? Could you take your own teeth out?
It says, by his stripes, Jesus' stripes, and they beat him. They almost beat Jesus to death the night before he was put on the cross. And he said, by his wounds, we were healed. Not are, not could be, not should be, not might be. It says, we were healed, you know, and through faith.
And you wouldn't take medicine because you think that God would... God's not going to give you any pain, so you don't ever need a doctor on the earth, and you don't ever need medicine.
Well, I believe doctors may.
Well, you need it if you don't believe, right?
That's right.
You don't think that pain? You think pain is all in your head? You don't think you really have pain?
No. I believe you can really have pain, but I believe Jesus took that pain away. And if we have faith in what the Scripture says, which He bore your pain, He'll take it away.
Yeah.
I mean, Tammy's a good example of that. She was
He'll make you move one way or the other.
Huh?
He'll move you out one way or the other. Won't he?
Just believe the gospel. The gospel is He took away your pain. I mean, if He took away the curse, He certainly took away the pain. That's where the pain comes from.
I took my root canal out, but I used to work with those people too, and they won't be hearing from me anymore.
Well, why did they call you Mrs. Smith over there?
I don't know.
You know, you told me when you came out over here just several months ago, you told us your name was Mrs. Smith.
Oh, that isn't my name. My husband left me and married another woman he was working with, and he's been gone, and I don't even know what name to use anymore. I'm so disgusted. And the one name I used to use, they turned it back on me because they started going with that old nonsense again.
Mm-hmm.
And shoot, I just
you remember I was telling you about the tongues, how that it, you know, we were talking about tongues, how that you pray according to the will of God.
He married her. He worked with her. He left me and married her.
Would you? You know how we was talking.
I didn't even know he was married.
Miss Weatherby.
He let me sit there by myself waiting on him to come back, and he'd already married the woman he's working with. And they were just laughing at me and using my family for fools, and I didn't even know he'd married her. Yeah, I know a mess.
Would you let us pray for you?
Yeah, I sure need it.